You are entering the MSP Zone, a podcast for the managed services community, covering news, analysis, and interviews from around the globe. Elevate your MSP game by staying in the MSP Zone. And now, your host, Charles Weaver.
What is an amateur MSP and how do you define that term? That's what we're going to be talking about on today's program. And it is a perhaps controversial topic to some because, defining anything, you're going to get people who are on different sides of that issue, whether it's a good definition, a bad definition, but it's an important one, and I'll tell you why we're doing it. And we've written a couple of articles in the recent week or two related to, and everything is stemming from this MSP regulation movement that is taking place in our community. And the reason why we need to define managed services and managed service providers or MSPs is because I believe, and even if you don't believe that this problem exists, the people who are doing the regulating, the people who are legislating and passing and signing laws need to know the group that they are regulating. And in order to do that, you have to define that group. So if we don't have a definition, a working definition of managed service provider, it's going to be really challenging to come up with effective, well-written legislation, laws, regulations that actually accomplish the purpose that those regulators and legislators intended. So here we are, and let's give it a whirl. Now, you may be wondering why are we defining what an amateur MSP is, and there's a reason. And, I remember back in 2004, our board spent a whole day trying to define managed services. And these were some fairly, intelligent people and certainly people who had a lot of experience in managed services even at that time. And none of them could really come to an agreement very easily, and we finally did at the end of the day, and it was a fairly bland definition of managed services that really focused on the term proactive, and the one term proactive became, at least for me and for the MSP Alliance, a very important term to use in the definition of what a managed service provider does compared to other types of IT providers, break-fix companies, reactive companies, et cetera. And so in the midst of all these hacks that are going on, all the ransomware attacks that are taking place, it is my considered opinion that there are certainly a number. I don't know if it's a majority. I'm not saying that it's entirely these types of companies, but I know that there have been at least a handful of companies that I have seen who are demonstrably not MSPs, but the press has labeled them as an MSP, and not the tech press, the non-tech, the general media have labeled these companies MSPs. They're getting that word from someplace. Maybe the company themselves said we are an MSP. Maybe the client said that was an MSP that we had hired. Maybe the salesperson said that they were an MSP. I don't know. But when I look at the company websites of some of, and I've actually looked at a handful of them, they did not look like MSPs to me. Maybe they were early on in their evolution of transferring from break-fix reactive to proactive managed services. Could be. But nevertheless, It brings up the larger question of today's program, which is how do we define what that amateur MSP looks like so that we can appropriately legislate and develop policies that the public can use. So the first discussion point or the first area of defining the amateur MSP is it's not about the revenue. And I know that this has been brought up many times in 25 years of our profession, but it's very rare to find a company that has 100% revenue from managed services. It does happen. There are numerous examples of it, but it's not the majority of the MSPs on planet Earth that do it that way. most MSPs have a very 2, 3, 4 major revenue segments of their business model. And they typically do flow into one another. They typically have a purpose for how they coexist, at least in the good ones. And they're not competitive. And I'll get to that theme in a little bit. But the point is, if you're looking at a company and saying, are they a real MSP, a mature MSP, an amateur MSP, you can't go based off of their revenue. Even if they have 30% of revenue from managed services, maybe another third from projects, projects meaning non-recurring services, and maybe they have another third of their revenue from hardware, software resale, that could be a very legitimate mature MSP, even though they have a relative minority of their revenue coming from managed services. So just wanted to put that out there. On the same issue of as revenue, the amount of break-fix revenue, however, can help us identify an amateur MSP or a less mature MSP, because it is very difficult, in my opinion, to have a well-run, efficient, profitable managed services operation that also has an equally sized or greater break-fix practice. Because those two revenue streams, those two types of clients, the sales process, the marketing around those, and the service delivery, most importantly, are competitive to one another. Meaning that in a fixed organization or division of a company that is doing both of those things simultaneously, one is going to win out over the other, right? It's you're not going to have a vibrant break, fix, reactive time and materials type of business offering supporting those types of clients, and also have a growing, thriving, proactive, efficient, profitable managed services delivery. It just can't happen. It has never happened. That's why we had so many VARs get stuck in the early 2000s, because they couldn't figure out how to give up that one part of revenue and replace it with better revenue. And there's a lot of reasons for that, but that nevertheless. So you can take the type of break-fix revenue or the amount of break-fix revenue a company has and make some assumptions about their maturity level. And that can actually be very helpful for determining what their status is. A next helpful tool, and these are all kind of just tips on how to define that amateur MSP, is their approach to how they onboard new clients. And an MSP will typically, you know, if they offer projects or they even resell hardware, software to clients, they will do that to new clients only if there is a promise or an actual agreement to manage the infrastructure, right? So I've seen that very often, and I think it's not 100%, but it certainly is a best practice, and I see it a lot globally. And that is, an MSP will say, well, to a new client, I would be happy to sell you the server. I would be happy to sell you these devices, this software. I will be happy to set it up, to configure it, to get it ready to use. But we only do that for managed services customers. And so we will do this for you, but you must sign an agreement. And that is a very effective way to, A, sell a managed services contract, but also to make sure that your sales, marketing, and service delivery teams are not just spending their days being basically a break-fix VAR, because absent the managed services, that's what you would be. You would be that typical late 1990s era VAR that got into trouble and, you know, decided to become an MSP in the first place. So that is a very stark contrast to a break-fix or reactive, or let's say an amateur MSP, who will be more willing to say yes to a client that says, I just want to buy a project. I just want to buy some stuff from you, but I'm not really interested in having you manage it. That type of a business model is typically not of interest to a real mature MSP. They just don't want to do it, because it's not going to be long-term revenue. It's not going to be a sticky relationship, typically. And it's not going to be something that allows them to offer repeatable, efficient IT services. And that's the critical thing. And so that can be a very helpful marker, if you will, of defining that amateur MSP. Next, I'm going to talk about time and materials billing. Time and materials, very commonly used by a lot of break fix or reactive providers. It's very easy. It's fairly simplistic math, right? Anyone can do it. And even if you break up the payments over a monthly, on a monthly cycle, that in and of itself does not mean that you are an MSP. In fact, I'm really not familiar with a lot of MSPs who use both managed services as well as time and materials, except in some unique exceptions. It does happen, but it's not a lot. The point is that you, just because you have a time and materials billing, or just because you are billing on a monthly or a regular cyclical model, does not make you a professional grade MSP. It just doesn't. And that gets us to the second kind of part of that, which is the type of tools that you use. And you may find a lot of amateur MSPs who have RMM solutions. They have an RMM in place. They've got a ticketing system in place. They have a backup software or two in place. They've got a security solution in place. They've got all these great quote-unquote MSP tools in place. They're being used, maybe. And they think, well, I must be an MSP now because I bought an RMM. I'm sorry to say it, but it doesn't make any difference. Just because you go out and buy an RMM doesn't mean that you're an MSP. Just because I go out and buy a stethoscope doesn't mean that I'm a doctor. You have to have the knowledge. You have to have the practice. You have to actually be doing the work in order to be that MSP. And so don't get fooled if you happen to see companies out there, maybe they're calling themselves an MSP or not, but if they've got these MSP tools in place and they're trying to get you to think that they're an MSP, it's not a marker, right? It's not the only marker. Now, I will say this, that a professional grade MSP, a mature MSP, they will have those same tools, which makes it kind of tricky, right? The professional MSP can't do without this. But just because an amateur MSP has it doesn't mean that they're really, you know, far along in their maturity level. And the last and final area is what I would call service delivery efficiency. And it is the everyday repeatable tasks that MSPs perform for their clients that really defines them as a mature professional MSP. And in contrast, that break fix amateur MSP really doesn't have a lot of repeatable process, right? They do things on a very manual basis. They do things fairly ad hoc. They don't have a lot of documentation of their process, which is part of the problem. But it also means that they probably never had a person or a group in the company actually define the service that is going to be repeated. And so you have very much passed down, you know, orally. Someone trains under someone else, and then they say, well, that's how I was trained to do this. So, and that's how you learn. And that's a very effective way of learning. But if you never document it, then it never becomes codified and never becomes followed, or it becomes increasingly difficult to follow it as you scale up and add more people. And so you'll find a lot of break fix companies who just do this very manual stuff all the time. And they may say, they may think that they're an MSP. They may do backup, right? They may say, I'm running a backup. Maybe. They may say, I'm monitoring. They may say, well, I'm reacting to problems when my client logs a ticket. Therefore, I must be an MSP. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. It is all about the efficiency. It's all about the proactive nature of those services that really defines you as that MSP and is the marker between professional and amateur MSP. And by the way, folks, this is just touching the surface. There's a lot more in depth we could go. But the purpose of today's program was really to get the message out there, both to the professional and amateur community about this. And by the way, if you're listening to this and you think I am an amateur MSP, there's hope. There are defined ways, proven ways that you can advance and grow in maturity your managed services practice. So I don't want you to think that this is a hopeless cause, because certainly there's a lot of ways that you can get out of that path. But this message is also for the regulators and the legislators out there who are thinking as they write and contemplate writing legislation for MSPs. It's really important to understand that there's a very big group out there with a variety of different types of maturity levels attached to them. And I think that that's going to be helpful for them as they move forward and act, and hopefully act in a way that will advance the cause of managed services everywhere and not act against it. Those are my thoughts. If you have any questions, comments, we'd love to hear them. And until next time, this is Charles Weaver with the MSP Zone.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please give us a like. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so you'll get notified when future episodes are released. We will see you next time in the MSP Zone.